T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We have heard this term, herd immunity. We heard it from Dr. Fauci. We've heard it during the testimony. We've heard it for a while now. What exactly does that mean, and why is it so important here?
Sure. So herd immunity is when you have so many people who have had the vaccine that it's unlikely for a person to, say, get a virus when they go to the grocery store or when they go shopping or when they get on an airplane flight. It's essentially, you have enough of the people in the herd who are immunized that the entire herd is safe.
What are we hearing from Dr. Fauci and the other experts when it comes to what percentage of the herd will need to be vaccinated once that vaccine's available?
Well, Dr. Fauci said in a statement this week that he thought that it would be unlikely that we could get enough people vaccinated to get herd immunity. But he would settle for 70 to 75% of society being vaccinated. The reason he's concerned about that is that last year the CDC reported that 48% or less than half of U.S. Americans received the flu vaccine. Now, we know that there's a bigger scare with COVID than there is with the flu, but that you do have some people who are reluctant to get vaccines or don't have access to care or don't have a feeling of importance of a vaccine. And so you don't ever achieve 100% immunity or 100% of the population being vaccinated.
Hearing about reluctance on vaccines and vaccinations is certainly nothing new. What are your thoughts on this when you hear people saying, no, I don't want to get vaccinated against this, even though it's been a pandemic and has affected the entire world? As a medical professional, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think with medicine, we always talk about risks and benefits. What is a bigger benefit than risk? And in med school, they teach us to first do no harm, right? So I think that that's really an important thread in healthcare. And the stakes are higher here with a coronavirus than there would be with flu, because coronavirus is more deadly for COVID-19. So I understand the hesitance to get a vaccination for something that has a lower death rate than COVID. But I think that with COVID, there's such a high percentage of death, and there's such a high percentage of people who have irreparable lung damage, that I would urge everybody to get a vaccine for this.
I know you have some possible solutions and ideas that you've outlined on how we might be able to improve this. What's an example of that?
Well, an example of that would be that some countries that have yellow fever endemic in them require people to have a yellow fever vaccine in order to enter their country. Now, in America, we see that the states have rights on being able to quarantine or impose self-quarantines. So, for example, Governor Cuomo in New York said that he was going to impose a two-week quarantine on anybody coming from Texas to New York right now. So he could say, unless you've had a vaccine, and then allow those people who have been vaccinated to travel more readily into New York and out of New York. That's an example. We have very, very large requirements for the universities of our country for giving meningococcus vaccines, meningitis vaccines, to students and that's state dependent. We could certainly add to that COVID-19 vaccination requirements for students going into university. And that seems to be an age group that is spreading this disease right now. So that would address that problem. You know, restaurants and bars have licenses to operate that are city dependent. And certainly we could, the cities could choose to say this is a health safety issue, and restaurants are regulated on their health safety, food safety. And so they could require, the cities could require, in order to get and operate a food license or a beverage license, that the restaurants immunize their workers. We also have unions in this country that were founded on basically trying to protect the healthcare and the safety of their members of their unions. And so the unions could require employers to provide the vaccine to their employees so that access is not an issue. And then publicly traded companies are regulated by the SEC, and if a publicly traded company does not have all of their workers immunized or a good portion of their workers immunized, then I would be able to reason that they would probably have more people on sick leave, higher health insurance bills the following years, and a higher wage expense if they replace workers who are out with part-time workers. And so I would think that is financially important information, and the SEC tries to report publicly financially important information that shareholders should know. So if they could require reporting for publicly traded companies, which I know is a headache to report something extra, I think that that would also encourage widespread vaccination efforts.
Is the bottom line here that once a vaccine is available, the more of us who get it, the better off we're going to be?
Absolutely. 100%, you're right on the mark. The more people who have this, the better off we all are. Because if you think about it, like let's say you go to the grocery store and you're standing in line next to somebody who has a vaccine, then they are less likely to have a really bad COVID infection. And so they're less likely to cough COVID particles on you while they're standing in the grocery store line. Or let's say it's Christmas time and you want to go visit your family on an airplane, or Thanksgiving and you want to visit your family on an airplane. You're in close quarters with other people who are breathing the same air, and it sure would be nice if they're not coughing out COVID.
This current surge that we have seen really across the state in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations, are there signs that it is going to come back down soon, or do you think it continues to rise for a while?
I think it continues to rise because we have the 4th of July weekend coming up, and with that we will have gatherings of people who will, and when we have gatherings of people, we have spread of disease. So we saw this surge right after Memorial Day, and I think 4th of July will be the same thing.
Do people still not get the full scope of how serious this is?
You know, I think that I've reflected on that. When I see somebody not wearing a mask and then I go into the hospital and have to talk to family members who are panicked about their loved one and can't go into the hospital to see them. And for me, this is painfully real because I know the names of the patients I've treated who have this. I know their stories. Their family members tell me things about them, personal things, you know, about their grandchildren or about their kids or about their family, about their life together. And it's real to me. It's very real to me. But to somebody who is in that 20 to 30 year old age group who, you know, that seems to be the increased rise in the spread of this, who hasn't experienced a person who they love and who they know going through a very bad case of this, it's not real. And I think that there was a moment where this became real to me, and it became incredibly more serious to me. And so I think is the problem, is that it feels like it's this intangible thing that we're reporting in the news, and it's not that real thing that hit them or their families or their neighbors. One thing I would love to see people do is just write the name of somebody you care about on your mask as a way of saying, I care that this person is protected. I think that could take off in the social media with that age group. And then makes it a little bit more tangible.
That is a brilliant idea. Absolutely brilliant, and I love the way you sum that up. And before I let you go, you pointed this out to me, this experimental vaccine that is being given to the Chinese military. What do we know about this, and how could it impact our military here in the U.S.?
Well, absolutely. So, we talked about how George Washington was the first military leader to ever vaccinate an entire military. So there is precedent for a military leader in the United States, in fact, our first military leader of the United States, vaccinating an entire military without the full depth of information about the vaccine. He didn't have an FDA at the time when he made that decision, and so he had a whole lot less information about the vaccine than we currently have about the vaccines that are in trials in the United States. So one thing that has happened is both the AstraZeneca and the Moderna vaccines have made it through phase one clinical trials. And phase one says, hey, is this safe and healthy for somebody who does not have medical problems? Well, at the same time frame, we screen our military and we say, in order to be a part of the military, you can't have certain medical problems. And so we have a safer and healthier group of people in the military because of that. And so it would be possible to say, for the U.S. to say, this would be unprecedented except for in George Washington's times and a few trial vaccines, to say that we could give the military a vaccine that is proven to be safe and healthy people and go ahead and vaccinate our military. Now, what would that do? That would, A, give us a ton more data about this vaccine, right? It would also give us, if we were to give the Moderna vaccine to all of our military, it would give the military time for their bodies to develop the immune system they need after the vaccine. And one thing I know we're going to need is a lot of people to give the vaccine once the vaccine is approved after phase three trial. And so I would love for those people who are interfacing with the entire public of America to have immune systems themselves that are healthy. And so if we give this to the military a month and a half before it is proven in phase three clinical trials for Moderna's vaccine, then the military's bodies, the bodies of our servicemen will be at the point where they're immune to this virus. And that will be very helpful in then distributing the vaccine to all of America.
What you're talking about here, is it something that's being discussed?
I don't think it's being discussed yet, but China is doing that with their military, and I think it would be a good idea for the U.S. and our allies to do the same.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.